Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton.
And we're going to talk about the viral Vogue article, Is It Embarrassing to Have a Boyfriend? And I'm going to let Sam kick it off.
Yes, that is what we are going to be talking about today. And with that said, it's a very brief article, surprisingly, for the amount of chatter it has produced. So I thought for you, dear listener, I could read it to you and you could kind of listen and kind of get settled into what this conversation is about.
Yeah.
It is an opinion piece that was written by Shantae Joseph. It is in British Vogue specifically, and it is called Is Having a Boyfriend Embarrassing Now? If someone so much as says my boyfriend on social media, they're muted. There's nothing I hate more than following someone for fun, only for their content to become, quote unquote, my boyfriend-ified suddenly. This is probably because for so long, it felt like we were living in what one of my favorite Substackers calls boyfriend land. A world where women's online identities centered around the lives of their partners, a situation rarely seen reversed. Women were rewarded for their ability to find and keep a man with elevated social status and praise. It became even more suffocating when this could be leveraged on social media for engagement, and if you were serious enough, financial gain. However, more recently, there's been a pronounced shift in the way people showcase their relationships online. Women are obscuring their partners' faces when they post, as if they want to erase the fact they exist without actually not posting them. So what gives? Are people embarrassed by their boyfriends now, or is it something more complicated? To me, it feels like the result of women wanting to straddle two worlds, one where they can receive the social benefits of having a partner, but also not appear so boyfriend-obsessed that they come across as quite culturally loser-ish. But it's not all about image. When I did a call-out on Instagram, plenty of women told me that they were, in fact, superstitious. Some feared the evil eye, a belief that their happy relationships would spark a jealousy so strong in other people that it could end the relationship. Others were concerned about their relationship ending and then being stuck with the posts. But there was an overwhelming sense from single and partnered women alike that regardless of the relationship, being with a man was an almost guilty thing to do. Even partnered women will lament men and heterosexuality, partly in solidarity with other women, but also because it is now fundamentally uncool to be a boyfriend girl. From my conversations, one thing is certain, the script is shifting. Being partnered doesn't affirm your womanhood anymore. It is no longer considered an achievement, and if anything, it's become more of a flex to pronounce yourself single. As straight women, we're confronting something that every other sexuality has had to contend with, a politicization of our identity. Heterosexuality has long been purposely indefinable, so it is hard for those within it and outside of it to critique. Obviously, there's no shame in falling in love, but there's also no shame in trying and failing to find it, or not trying at all. And as long as we're openly rethinking and criticizing heteronormativity, having a boyfriend will remain a somewhat fragile or even contentious concept within public life. This is also happening alongside a wave of women reclaiming and romanticizing their single life. Where being single was once a cautionary tale, you'll end up a spinster with loads of cats. It is now becoming a desirable and coveted status, another nail in the coffin of a centuries-old heterosexual fairy tale that never really benefited women to begin with.
A lot to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack. This was an incredibly thought-provoking article for me. It was interesting because I didn't find being partnered embarrassing. I find dating embarrassing. The dating process is for me.
Yeah.
If we apply this lens of feeling embarrassed,
yeah,
that's the embarrassing aspect of it.
I get that.
When I started to see the conversations that were evolving around this article, my initial frustration was I was hard-pressed to find a single woman, either by choice or someone who is currently dating and still single, who did not agree with the article. There was a lot of consensus around feeling that this very brief article really summarized this feeling of when you see someone get a partner or you see someone posting about their partner or dating or wanting a relationship. It's a really strange place of cognitive dissonance.
And I think even like 10 years ago, like it is sort of always been being a pick me, really open, right? Like that's the whole phrase of like, when you really want love, it'll just find you when you stop looking for it.
Yeah.
So I do think this is like probably an expansion of that same topic, right? If we've always kind of felt like dating should just be something that happens to you, you shouldn't have to work hard at it. It should just come to you. Someone should just pick you. It does feel like a natural extension of where we are now that, yeah, now even like having a boyfriend potentially could evoke some of that also.
Yeah, that feeling of it. What I felt most frustrated with around the conversation was nobody debating partnership and the realities of dating right now and where, you know, if you are feeling this way about a boyfriend, what are your blind spots, yeah. right? Like I have no problem having yeah. those types of conversations. Where I got really frustrated is the majority of the negative feedback was from women who are in fact partnered. And I just feel if you are partnered and there is a conversation around singleness going on, you need to mute yourself.
I agree.
I think especially if you are happily partnered, if you are happy, if you are content in your relationship, this conversation does not center you. And as a single person, more often than not, when your friends start to become partnered, get engaged, get married, have children, every conversation, every activity somehow revolves around them and their needs. And what I am tired of is being made to feel that when me being representative of like kind of this population of single women, so I'll say we, I guess, when we stand up and speak about our honest experience and how we're feeling about things and how we're perceiving things, we're told how we're not being fair. We're not being inclusive. We're being judgmental. We're naming things that don't need to be named in that way. And I just find that incredibly frustrating because it's like, oh, so I have to police myself around thoughts on people's marriages. Mm-hmm. I have to police myself on the opinions of how people parent.
Yeah.
I have to police myself on the opinions of someone going through a divorce, but you don't have to police yourself on your opinions of single people.
Yeah.
Got it. You get to just inflict judgment when you feel triggered.
Yeah.
Because you are in fact partnered and you are in a relationship and you see this thing that says, is it kind of a weird thing to be in right now? And you then feel the need to start expressing how like, oh, you guys are developing the adult version of cooties and this is never going to help you find someone. We're encouraging solitude and loneliness. And that was the feedback that was the most triggering to me. Not different opinions on the state of dating, how we could make dating better, you know, is singleness truly a choice or is it a choice you feel bullied into? All of those conversations I'm fine with. I have no interest in someone who is happily partnered or happily married telling me that they feel I'm encouraging people to be lonely.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time with that.
It felt to me like the people who had backlash to this article were the people who, when like fat activists were coming out and saying like, it is okay to be curvy and like mm-hmm. celebrate your body and all of that stuff. And it was like all of the skinny people being like, well, you know, it's now it's not cool to be skinny. And like, I'm skinny shamed. Like that's right. How it felt to me was it was just like, yes, okay, maybe there are some few instances where that has happened to you. I'm not even saying that's not true. Mm-hmm. It's just like the water we're swimming in is not.
It's not that.
Skinny shaming. The no. water we're swimming in is that, you know, you're the default for a reason in terms of like a straight body. A thin body is what is always pronounced in the media. And that's the same thing I think with like singledom versus partnerdom. I feel sometimes like trying to spread hope to people of like there are some good men out there and it is possible. But yeah, I think a lot of that is my own stuff for sure. And I'm able to check myself and be like, who cares? It's not, this isn't about me. And I think you're exactly right, Sam. I don't know why as a society we haven't fully embraced the your personal experience matters. And I think especially what you said about how single people do have to hold their tongue so much. And so even if it's like, okay, maybe having a boyfriend is embarrassing now, it's like our tax structure, our yes. right, like literal baked in institutions in our system haven't changed. And that's why I don't take seriously like, oh, talking about this is going to like encourage people to not get married. Like maybe there will be a little different social pressure. But again, if the current is so strong one way, a couple people talking about the current in the other way is not relevant and doesn't matter.
No, not at all. And a very real truth that you are exposed to every single day as a single person is exactly what you said of how the entire system is structured to benefit the partnered and the married. Everything about it. Even in your day-to-day life, the extra energy that I have to expend to not only work full-time, but manage my own life full-time. Now, I'm not saying that as like to have to function as an adult is some horrible, you know, traumatic experience. No. What I'm saying is I don't have an extra set of hands.
Yeah.
In this move, I have had to do everything by myself while also, you know, being in this transition. I don't have anybody to rely on. Yes, I have lovely friends. I have my sister here to help. Fine. I do have a support system. However, at the end of the day, nobody can go to the DMV for me except me. Nobody can call the insurance company to switch it over except me. Nobody can like get a new license for me except me, change my addresses, change all my licensure. Oh, then I remember, oh, I have to finish my licensure. I have to do the CEUs. Right. Like there is nobody else that I can call to say, can you do this for me? Oh, and in the midst of that, I have to go to the grocery store. I have to pick up my prescriptions. I have to get gas. I have to do this, right? So now those thoughts rarely all converge on the same day. Sometimes they do. The last 2 weeks they kind of have. But I think what when I hear an article like this, what it evoked for me in my personal experience is when I see that a woman is partnered, my first thought goes to a sense of jealousy and frustration.
Mm-hmm. Like when you see someone?
Yeah. Like when I see that someone has gotten into a relationship or is now engaged or what have you, I go to like, oh God, that would be like your life just got easier. You now have second hands. You have a second income. You have room to breathe. You've hit the achievement. People are going to leave you alone. People no longer feel sad for you. Everybody's celebrating you and talking about how amazing you are. My raw initial reaction is like another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Which I think is fair. I feel that way when people have more than one kid and it has absolutely nothing to do with me and I don't want more than one kid. And you're, you know, you at least want to be, I don't want to have more than one child. And I'm still like, damn it, the invisible club I put you in, you violated and now you're in a different club.
Exactly. You can't, you have to, why'd you leave my club? You didn't tell me you were leaving the club.
Right.
When we talk about like the embarrassing factor, I think it is an important conversation because there were a lot of people that kind of went to the not all men place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I know. Like we know, every single person knows good, kind men in their life. And if they don't, I'm truly sorry. However, the vast majority of issues that we as women, particularly straight women, are facing have mm-hmm. to do with a decline in many men's behaviors and engagement in society. And I'm sorry, there's a small portion over here that is doing great. They're kind, good, contributing members to society. I am not talking about them. Yep. I am talking about the percentage that have fallen into the manosphere, that have become paralyzed with anxiety and fear, that feel like they can only exist in a virtual world of playing video games or being like eyebrows deep in AI. The confusion of like, I don't know what to do with my life. I can't pick a career. I want to make more money, but I don't want to have to work. And the obsessiveness with self-help. And then turning more to religion, which on the surface isn't necessarily bad, but they are being pulled into far right, traditional, oppressive gender roles. And they're angry that they can't find women that want to fall into this fantasy with them. And they're making it all of our problem. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the dating scene now, we are spoiled for choice, not in a way that is a good thing. Mm. We are spoiled for choice in the illusion that there are limitless options and that if we just filter through enough options, we will eventually find the person that's perfect.
So what you're saying you think like is also because there's limitless options, it's easy for people who are not single to be like, of course you'll find someone.
Yes.
Everyone in the world, right? There's so many fish in the sea and now you have access to seeing every single fish.
Yes. There are so many fish. And the problem is the quality of the fish has plummeted.
Right. Like there is poison and mercury in the water.
Yes. The fish are belly up floating. And everybody's like, pick one. You could bring him back to life. His eyes are still clear. Like, it's just, the waves are just carrying in, like, bloody fish. Yeah. And they're like, look at how many fish there are.
Right.
You could get a meal or two out of that. And I won't. So the embarrassing factor comes from those of us having to sit in this brutal reality of living, like, day in and day out in the trenches of these problems that the likes of Scott Galloway are going on The View and the Today Show spouting off about.
Yeah.
And I'm living the ramifications of these problems. And to then bring out, like, yeah, to see someone who's with a man, you're kind of like, you're worshiping this? Did you settle? What did you sacrifice? What's going on behind, like, the glitzy, glittery Instagram post or the TikTok video? Or, and that's what I want to circle back to when I brought up the idea of, like, oh, I have that, like, pang of, like, jealousy or frustration because I feel like someone found someone that made their life easier. I also understand that I am not, nobody ever has the full picture of any relationship ever. And I understand that there's no perfect dynamic and everybody has their struggles and their shit that they have to work through and, like, fine. Mm-hmm. However, when you see somebody now who was in the dating pool for a long time and they do find someone, as a single person, your mind kind of goes to, like, ooh, I wonder what you caved on.
Yeah.
Like, because I know that's what I'm looking at. Like, a conversation I'm having with myself in my work is like, what are the imperfections that I'm willing to be okay with and live with? What are my hard lines? What are my no's? And so when I see someone, your mind kind of goes to, like, babe, what did you capitulate on? And they would never say, unless they're, like, an intimate friend. And I think even then they wouldn't. But so these are, like, real conversations that are happening. And I think for people that are relieved to be partnered, for people that are really happy in their partnership, for people that was an end goal for them in a lot of ways and something that they really wanted, they really want a family, which is lovely, amazing. I do too. But I think for those that have been in it for a while, it does feel like when we're over here talking about the reality of things, they feel like insecure, right? And that's anybody that has, like, a negative reaction to somebody else's experience, there is a level of projection going on in some way, right? Anytime you have a judgment towards someone's experience, a negative thought, just like mine, like my envy and my judgment, that's me. That's my stuff that I am owning. I am not putting that on that couple. I am saying those are my thoughts, my insecurities, my frustrations that I am projecting onto them. And so in the reverse, with all of the conversation around this article, the people that did have a negative viewpoint of it, I'm like, well, that's yours to sit with. Clearly, there was something that this brought up for you that you don't feel totally firmly rooted in, i.e. Mm-hmm. secure in. Mm-hmm. And you now feel like you have to tell us, like, we're all being silly and immature and we just can't make a decision.
Or you also, like, dated in just, like, a fundamentally different time.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how people don't remember that. A lot of the people that wrote those articles literally talk about in their articles how they've been married for, like, 15 years. And it's just like, no, unless you've been dating in the past few years – you don't know what's going on because there has been a massive shift that has happened in the past few years. And I think what's also really fascinating about this article, and I want to read a quote from a different article I read that was, like, a response to it. I agreed with some of it. I didn't agree with all of it. She wrote an article called "Is Having a Husband Embarrassing Now?" Her name is – we'll link it in the show notes. Her name is Amanda Monte. She has a very big Substack called Mad Woman. I think a lot of the people saying – this is just cooties, like, you need to put yourself out there more. Even Scott Galloway a bit, right, is coming from more of the – they're coming from the side of there's too much liberalism, sort of. And, like, women are taking it too far. Liberal people are taking it too far without acknowledging the other thing that's going on at the same time, which is, like, conservatism has also taken over. And it's sort of like we're each talking in each other's echo chambers that it is so hard to be explaining how, like, what we're actually talking about is just sort of like extremism. Like, if we take out the fact that the water that we swim in is still catering towards married people. You could say in certain sectors of very liberal people that, yeah, like having a boyfriend is embarrassing, settling down is embarrassing, trying is, you know, the people that just kind of want to like float around. But you're not acknowledging what's also actually happening is like conservatism is also on the rise. So my whole point, I'll read this quote. I think what's fascinating is she said, "What's a source of social capital in one community or algorithm is often a source of shame and embarrassment in another. That's the very problematic nature of the purposely polarizing digital ecosystem in which we all live." It's sort of like it's embarrassing on the left to have a boyfriend, but incredibly popular on the right. That is like one of the mind-bending things of all this. And I think that's why people who are more in the middle don't see it, because they're just like, no, you know, that's not what's happening. But it's just like it might not just not be happening in your ecosystem.
Right. And if also you're in a circle of people where there are no single people, you're out of touch.
Yeah.
Not in every facet of your life, but in that area, you're out of touch.
Definitely. Definitely.
And I would argue most people, especially the non-chronically online crowd, would agree with that. I feel like I would be hard-pressed to like say to somebody who's been long-term partnered, you're out of touch, and they would fight on that.
Right.
I'm really glad you brought up kind of this like cavern of in between the extremes, because that's something I've been reconciling with in my own way. I do have a lot of resentment towards some men in my life and the way I've been treated and the way I know men have treated some of the people in my life that I care about, and mistakes that I feel are very common for men to make that women don't really seem to make even 2% of the time compared to men. And I think what I get frustrated with is as women have overcome every hurdle that's been thrown at them in many ways and have excelled and have been excelling, as we've done all that, what I feel particularly frustrated with is that it seems men have fallen behind. And I think we can have a legitimate conversation. I want to have more conversations about men's mental health and taking care of men and helping men get out of these extreme echo chambers that they're living in and helping them tap into healthy, supportive masculinity and get out of toxic masculinity, right? Like, I want those things. I don't want men to be having AI girlfriends. I think that is like the end of times. Like, I don't want that. What I struggle with as we reconcile those two different populations are in two different spaces right now. I don't like how it becomes that I, as a woman, I have to be the one that steps down in order to accommodate to men who are struggling. And that is where I get frustrated. I have no problem acknowledging that there are a lot of men in a really tough spot right now, economically, socially, emotionally, mentally, all of it. Fine. A lot of that is also self-imposed. Everybody's had choices. Everybody has choices in life.
And that also doesn't mean, like, I think people collapse that, like, people are saying, like, don't have compassion, right?
Right.
Like, we can have compassion and validate people and not agree with them.
Exactly.
Like, it can be very challenging what, and I have the privilege in some senses of not having a son. I really like don't want one, because I just like the idea of trying to raise a son that like is extremely daunting to me, right? So I feel like that's my little loophole where I can like check out of this conversation. But I think that's the problem too, is people get stopped because they're like, well, we can't dehumanize people. We need to have compassion for everyone. I'm like, yes, I agree. And you can do that while still being like, what exists still exists. We can still be honest about the infrastructure of the world. We can still talk about like the gender wage gap and all of the really important things that are still in place, even if men are sad and struggling more and falling into these unhealthy behaviors.
Well, and there are Christian nationalists right now gaining traction saying that women were never designed to vote, and that we need to return to a household vote that is, of course, chosen by a man. And if you're sitting here saying like, that's not happening, I'd really encourage you to just simply type in household vote.
Yeah, it's alarming.
It's alarming. It's growing traction. And I don't want men to fall into that pitfall, because that's dangerous for them. That creates unhealthy power dynamics for them. And they are falling into that. And so I struggle that as we look at this as like a collective whole, and someone finally speaks up and says, yeah, there's a big problem in hetero relationships right now of this divide. There's a big problem. And for women over here, such as myself, who are independent, fully functioning, we're motivated, we're ambitious, we're hardworking, we're responsible, we're living our lives, we have goals, dreams, aspirations, all these sorts of things. Yeah, my standards are high.
Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and feeling like, oh my gosh, I could actually really use a therapist, we've got you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, has therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. All the therapists are hired by me, trained by me, handpicked by me, and we really back and support our therapists. We vouch for them, unlike some of these big online therapy platforms. Also, if you're local to the Philadelphia area, we have 3 office locations there. So I would love for you to go to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com, and check it out. Well, also, can we talk about the fact that the cruel world and reality that like being ambitious and successful is counted against women?
Yes. Yes. Like I am sitting here having to be, or being, I'm not doing this myself. I'm actively fighting against this, but there are forces out there telling me that my standards are too high.
Yeah.
That what I want in a partner, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. But then I over here am supposed to be super fit, have the perfect personality, laugh at everything, not be bothered.
Not be too ambitious either, because he needs to be the one that makes more money.
Right. He needs to be the one that feels like he is in charge. And I'm really, if you're listening to this and you're finding yourself bristling against some of what we're saying, I really want to ask you to sit in this space to be like, wow, maybe this is happening outside of my own relationship, right? Or do you feel like maybe you made some concessions that you weren't very happy about having to make? And that's okay. We can grieve that while also being happy to be in a relationship, right? But I think that's kind of what we're reckoning with here, is this women over here are feeling that, myself included, to now to go from single to partnered in some form will require sacrifice that feels like it comes at the sacrifice of my satisfaction.
Yeah, or even your equity and labor, sort of, because I'm like fresh off of, I talked to Stephanie O'Connell, who's going to be on the podcast in a couple weeks, and her whole thing is like tracking the gender wage gap and everything. And the most insane statistic she gave me is that when women get married, right, their household labor amount goes up, men's goes down, which mm-hmm. doesn't surprise me. But this is the kicker. When they get divorced, if she is single and has sole custody of her kids, her labor, her household amount of labor goes down when she gets divorced, even if she has sole custody of the kids.
His Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Well, because you're not taking, care,
not
of
taking care of him.
You're not taking care of him.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
When we as independent functioning women look at becoming partnered with a man, more often than not, we know without a shadow of a doubt his life satisfaction is going to shoot through the roof.
Yeah.
Women feel that we are now being asked to take on additional work.
Because also in many cases, women are the ones that are responsible for not just kids. We're talking about also like kinship and relationships. We're talking about even like just the women are the ones that are like, let's go to couples therapy. Let's read another book.
Yes.
Let's figure it out. Let's, you know, get the fair play deck and figure like.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Well, and now I will say I am very lucky. I feel what has continued to give me hope.
Yes.
In this, like, is this embarrassing? So, I have marriages in my life that like keep me going mentally to be like, okay, it's possible, right? Like you can find a partner that is a stable individual. However, I also have in my arsenal a very impressive scroll of horror stories.
No, probably way more. Especially if you're a therapist.
Yeah. Like the way some of these men behave in these relationships is appalling. What I struggle with the conversation around, you know, the problem with men, right?
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
Is I feel like everything that we're talking about is all external.
Mm.
All of the solutions that are being presented are external.
Yeah.
It's women's fault. It's tech's fault. It's video games' fault. It's the economy's fault. It's this. It's your mom didn't raise you right. Your dad was a bum. Everything is pointed outwards and external as if these individuals have no ability to function on their own. And there's no turning to the accountability of like, hey, guys, how have you personally fallen short? And I'm not talking about the self-help industry that just says like, well, if you do cold plunges and you wake up at 4 a.m, you'll be able to optimize your life and your functioning and be an incredible entrepreneur. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what are you doing to take care of your emotional health? You're lonely? Why?
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy. What is making it hard for you to feel like you can connect and communicate with other people around you? What are you feeling insecure about in your career? What is making it difficult for you to make a choice around a career? How do you feel about hard work and effort? What is your belief around that? What do you feel when you get to escape into video games? Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Why do you feel drawn to doing that every single night after work? Like, there's no in-depth conversation going on around how these men can truly actually help themselves. The men that are struggling, the men that are saying that they feel left behind, the men that are saying that they feel lonely. What are you doing? Stop waiting for the economy to crash. Stop saying that it's because factory jobs went away. Stop, like, what? There are plumbers out there right now making $250,000 a year saying that nobody wants to go into their trade. There's opportunity there. Why do I have to be out here getting creative, like reinventing the wheel so that I can hit my ambitions? And then I'm over here being told like, well, there's a man in the world that feels bad because you've passed him.
Well, I think too, you know, it's so hard because I know we talked a little bit about how do we feel about Scott Galloway. Obviously, his book came out this week. And I think he has said things that I'm like, good. And yes. A lot of like, I think he's a good example of, I don't agree with all of his points by any means. Mm-hmm. But I try to like, I think his message is helpful and important. And I think he is, I'm glad a white rich dude.
Yes. Is saying
is
this.
Is saying this stuff. I think yeah. that is what, you know, I'm a very big fan of Kara Swisher.
Same.
So yeah, I mean, I haven't read his book. So I God hope that there's something in his book about that isn't just blaming, you know, external things. Cause I think that's a really good point, Sam. But yeah, I do appreciate at least he's talking about how much more men benefit from relationships than women. And he talks about, you know, some of these statistics and how, I mean, some women didn't like it, but a big thing he talks about a lot is men should pay on the date always because mm-hmm. they are more likely to be advantaged by being in a relationship. And a huge, like, I think the problem also with this is that women build community. Women have friends. Women invest in relationships very differently compared to men. And that is one of the issues with what happens and why men turn to these more isolated places when they're single compared to women. And I think it's the fallacy is people just say, oh, well, that is like human nature. Women are just more loving and more connected. And it's just like, no, that's like maybe there's some of that that's true. But a lot of it also is just what the examples are. Like, I think anyone who's married probably at some point has like a thought of, am I going to get divorced and how I'll survive and what I'll do and all of that stuff. And like, I do feel grateful that I live in a time now where I do feel like if I got divorced or something happened or my husband died, God forbid, like I would be able to form relationships. I would create community. I would sort of figure it out where it doesn't seem like that's really – there are no examples for men of like what it is to be single and what it is to still like, I mean, obviously I'm grossly, you know, overgeneralizing. So someone come in and tell me I'm wrong, but I don't even like even in pop culture, like we don't have that, which is very interesting.
Well, and something I want to lay out too, as a single woman who is like kind of grappling with recognizing I'm really like start actually like making this happen in terms of like dating and finding a partner. The reason I want partnership is because I deeply respect partnership and I deeply respect mutually supportive, loving, caring partnership. And I know that's what I want to bring to it. And what I struggle with as a straight woman is that I feel like men are not as inclined to want to meet that type of energy because it is the assumption that that is the woman's job, that that is our role. Now, again, there are men that do that. They are rare. It's not taught to them. It's not encouraged in them. It's exactly as you said. I think we are lacking in healthy, stable, solid male role models out there.
And what does a friend group look like sort of for men either?
They don't have them.
That are, yeah, it's like golfing and drinking and...
Yeah, that's it. And never talking about anything of depth or seriousness or, you know, and it's, I feel sad for that. Mm-hmm. Because my friendships, my connections are the things that have gotten me through this season of my life. Mm-hmm. And the ROI that I get from investing in my friendships is limitless.
And you get, I mean, like friendships are so much more flexible in terms of you can rely, like more people. Like I think one of the biggest pitfalls of partnership is that people put all of their eggs in one basket and they expect their partner to fulfill every part of them. And that's just not realistic. No one can do that.
No, no one can do that. But then in addition to that, I also see content now of women who are partnered in with children making videos about how friendship is meaningless to them right now.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that yet. That's so sad.
And so it's devastating. Yeah. And it's couched as this, like, I just don't have time because I have, this is where all of my time goes. And like, my life is so meaningful with these relationships. I don't need anything else. And I think what's particularly sinister about that is it's like, oh, okay. So what you are passively saying, even if you want to fight tooth and nail saying that's not what you're saying, but everything has a secondary message to it. What you're saying is friendship is temporary.
Yeah.
Friendship is not fulfilling. Friendship is not meaningful. That is the underlying message that is being delivered through that.
Well, I was even going to take it a step farther and say, Sam, I can't imagine how much it doesn't feel like I was used.
Yes.
As like a placeholder.
Yes.
Until you could find a partner and have a child.
Right. That is, that type of content falls into.
Is that more, I would assume, like trad wifey kind of content?
Yeah. It's much more like conservative.
Yeah.
Leaning content.
Yeah, because when you're trying to sell that marriage is the most fulfilling thing that anyone can do in the world, it is a threat to say anything else outside of marriage and children is fulfilling.
I think the conversation around the embarrassing component of being a partner is, I think this might be a symptom of how much women do have to think about things and be analytical of the things going on in our life, and this weight of, oh, like, well, what is the meaning of partnership? And is it this? And do single people feel seen? And do partnered people feel seen? And do divorced people feel seen? And, you know, are we weighing this? What does it really matter? Like, you don't see men writing articles saying like, hey, is 4 hours a night on video games embarrassing? They ain't talking about that. And then we're over here like debating the merits of how some people feel and how some people don't. And understandably so. Of course, somebody who's in a healthy, happy, contented relationship is going to be like, no, it's not embarrassing. It's wonderful. It brought everything to my life. That is lovely. And of course, me as a single person is like, yeah, it feels kind of cringy because it feels like I had to sacrifice something to just have this totem of societal acceptance and success.
Yeah, it's just, it's so complicated. Like I think the embarrassing thing is like interesting too, because I can see this a little bit with like motherhood content of how like I had a lot of resistance to having children because I was like, being a mom is embarrassing because of how I saw it portrayed on social media of it becomes your whole world. It becomes everything. Like you lose yourself. I would watch like women crying in their bathrooms being like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me, but I've never been so miserable in my life. And I like would short circuit. And on the other side, I get it a lot more, obviously. And I get how, right, like, I think it is a little bit of a universal thing with influencers when we're cashing out on being relatable. Any life choice makes someone embarrassing or not, relatable or not. That is sort of interesting underpinning it also too, of it's like any choice you make is relatable or not relatable. You get married and people unfollow you. You have kids, people unfollow you. You get divorced, people unfollow you.
I posted about my birthday and 100 people unfollowed
me.
Like, so literally, like, there's nothing.
You can't
nothing.
Win either. No. So I don't want to use that as, like, the metric of proof that, like, it's embarrassing necessarily. Mm-mm. I think it's fascinating. I didn't know that people were actually cutting their, like, partners and boyfriends out of things. The only thing I can think of is if you're that like successful of an influencer, maybe you're like, I'm using this for content. I want to keep my content. But I wonder also, is that embarrassing or is it that that person is just like, this is my job and I don't want to monetize my relationship?
Privacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't show my child's face online. Does that mean I'm embarrassed about having a child? Maybe, because I sort of admitted that I have been in the past. I'm not embarrassed anymore, but yeah, privacy matters.
Yeah, I think we're forgetting that too, of like, well, where is the fine line of showing too much, not showing enough? Because I'll be honest, people who are partnered in general, even though like in the beginning I talked about like my envy, my jealousy, again, that's my own issue. I don't have a problem. Like I'm not sitting here saying, I think we need to like forego hetero relationships and everybody stay single. Like that's, like, calm down if you thought I thought that. What I do find actually cringe and embarrassing are the accounts that are strictly about them as a couple.
Totally. The joined accounts.
The joined accounts doing pranks on each other and trying to, like, you know, like, film these, like, emotional moments that you can totally tell are, like, crafted and set up. And it's like, you literally set up the camera to film this and now you're crying in each other's arms. Like, what are you doing? Or, like, they purposely put themselves out there in these controversial situations, get ripped to shreds, and then we have to go through the whole, like, apology video saga, and then, you know, the live feed where they talk about why they did what they did, or they end up on someone else's couples podcast talking about why they did what they did.
Yeah, they all have a couples podcast, and they're all giving marriage advice, and I'm just like, no, none of you should be giving marriage advice.
Did you see Michelle Obama on her book tour the other day, what she said?
No, what'd she say?
She put something into words that I didn't even realize I was feeling. She said, I have zero interest in your insight as a mom if you only have a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
She said, do not talk to me about how to be a parent until I can see your kid who is 28 years old and I can see the final product.
Yeah. Or you're like a therapist and you studied this.
Yes.
Those are the only two things.
Yeah. She said, these mommy bloggers, she goes, I'm not interested in your content. No. She goes, if you just have like toddlers or young elementary age children, she goes, you haven't figured it out.
Totally. I kind of feel that way about marriage too.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Especially the evangelical Christian ones who immediately get married and then they're spouting evangelical Christian marriage advice. I'm just like, oh my God.
And basically just like quoting from the Bible and taking like the most extreme takes on it to try to seem like they're so like intelligent and aware. I actually, if we're going to talk about the embarrassing word, that type of stuff I find embarrassing, because that is, to me, it's hilarious because it's the exact opposite of the gay agenda. Remember in like the yes. aughts and the tens when they're like, being gay is being like shoved down my throat. Well, now like being a Christian break. In a hetero marriage is being shoved down my throat all the time.
And the problem with that argument is it just like, it depends where you are.
Yes.
It's all context. We can't even.
No. And yeah. And also like how you want to live is how you want to live.
Close your mouth if someone's shoving something down your throat. You have agency.
Gag. Throw it back up.
Close your mouth. No one can shove anything down your throat if your mouth is closed.
If you don't want it. Access and imposition are two different things. This, again, I think what's hard about this episode too is we're walking like the line of five different
These are
topics.
Topics converging together.
These are a lot of topics all coming together. And I think we've found like four different episodes that we could do just from this. Mm-hmm. But being single right now, whether you have been recently single or whether you can't even remember the last time you were single, mm-hmm. It is a very, very different landscape. And I think prior to social media and dating apps, modern dating was the same for like 50 years.
Yes.
Like I would give you that there was a stretch of time there where it was very predictable. Mm-hmm. You go out with friends, you meet people, you get introduced to people. People always know people and they have people to connect you with.
Most people until recently, until technology, married people within the vicinity that they lived.
Yes.
That's it.
There were people that you knew, maybe even people that you knew from the time you were little, people that you trusted.
People you worked with, people your family worked with. It was your community.
It was your community. And now that has drastically shifted. It's a very daunting prospect for someone who has been in some ways chronically single, i.e. me, to have so much stability and functionality in your life. As frustrating and as hard and as lonely as it can be some days to have a tremendous amount of fulfillment in your life, it is daunting to go out there and realize that you have to open that door to someone else and let somebody else in. You just don't know. Like Nobody knows, right? And you have this space in your life that you've tended to and you've grown and it's peaceful now. And like for me, you know, I feel like I've overcome a lot of emotional hurdles in my life and being here feels very stable and fulfilling and I feel very happy. And it is really intimidating to think of opening the door to opportunities that could disrupt that for a time.
Yeah.
People that love bomb you, people that lead you on, people that could cheat on you, people that could ghost you. Like there are a lot of risks of in terms of like pain and emotional pain that you open yourself up to. Now, that is the requirement, right? That is the requirement for the bids for connection and to find connection that you can continue to like grow and nurture and care for and you know, will be fulfilling. But to get to that garden is really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think if you've listened to this and maybe you are partnered or you're thinking of a friend who is single and maybe you've had a little bit of judgment towards them of what they're doing or what they're not doing, I would really invite you guys to have some compassion for them and some understanding of the lines that we are all walking and the decisions that we are all trying to make. And I think to have us painted as these like elitist, out of touch, wealthy individuals that just don't want a man or kids because we just want to travel by ourselves.
But also who cares? Like, great. Right.
Like, yeah. Like
that's how I feel.
But I think there is a lot of judgment from people. Like I think there are a lot of people that actually do care quite a bit that there are people living their life that way and care not in a happy way.
Right, right.
Right. Like care in a very judgmental way.
It's just like anytime we're in one of these arguments where someone is this upset about someone else doing something that's different, it's just like, what are you talking about? Like,
why are you mad?
Like, who cares? And the reason they're mad is because of power. That's the only actual reason that really creates this. Mm-hmm. If not, you would be able to unhook yourself and be able to recognize that someone doing something else has absolutely nothing to do with you.
This is what happens in patriarchy, guys. Listen to what we're debating right now. We're debating the merits of women's choices. We're debating the merits of what women decide to do with their life with the freedom that they have been given. And it's silly at the end of it. Like, yeah, for some people, having a boyfriend is embarrassing. And I'm sorry, if you're in like a garbage relationship, that's embarrassing. Like, you know, and you continue to like allow yourself to be mistreated. Now, of course, there's like, I'm not talking about abuse, but I'm talking about guys that are just like, mid, guys that don't do things for you, guys that are lazy, guys that you're frustrated with. Like, sure, there's a world where that's embarrassing. There's also people in incredible marriages and partnerships that are so lucky and should be seen as like, yeah, I'd really like to have that in my life. Like that is a healthy, happy goal that I want to have. Or women deciding to say, you know what, it's not for me. I'm happy. I'm fine. I'm stable. I'm good. Like to just practice not feeling so triggered by somebody else sharing what their lived experience has been and understanding that someone else's lived experience does not take away from your lived experience, nor does it say that your lived experience was bad or wrong or not the right one because your individual unique circumstances made it so that you're in the situation you're in. Same with mine. And to just let everybody be.
Totally. Well, we did throw out like 4 different episode topics, so y'all will have to let us know in the comments which ones you would like. I know there's been a lot of demand for a sort of, I think it's singlehood, but also like weddings episode, yes. Showers episode. I think we'll that's one that. People have been really wanting. I saw people wanted a friendship breakup episode. But yeah, if there are any other topics mm-hmm. in this you'd like our thoughts about, please let us know.
As per usual, anything that you can do to get the word out about the pod, rate, review, share, subscribe. If you could share to your Instagram stories, send this episode to a friend. We are growing. We're making gains. We're excited about the place that we're at. And it's all because of you. And word of mouth is the best way to get things out because the algorithm sucks. And we're doing our best. But yeah, just sharing is a huge, huge help. And also we have the Substack where we do even more content over there, bonus episodes. Every single episode gets its own guide. So if you would like to kind of read through and get more of a review rather than, you know, having to like feel like you have to listen to the whole episode again, that's all.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.